Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Red hot comic book movie news, shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet, The Weekly Planet.
Welcome everybody to episode 8 of The Weekly Planet, official podcast of comicbookmovie.com. This week, Mason.
Hello. Hello. Hello, listeners. How are you?
I'm good.
Was that the listeners? That,
did you heard that right?
Our one. Yeah, we're haunted by one listener who died in this room. Who died in the spare room of your house.
If only he was still with us. In non-ghost spirit.
We miss him.
We do. This week we're talking The Hunger Games, Catching Fire, and the Doctor Who 50th anniversary special, The Day of the Doctor.
They're both popular things, aren't they?
They are. You know what? Do you think they're very... Do you think there's a much fan overlap between those two things?
Sassy lasses.
Yep.
And people that like bow ties and like floppy hair. Us two.
That's it. That's
it's just us two,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And the ghost.
And the ghost guy.
All right. So before we get started on that, obviously we're going to talk news.
Why, obviously?
Because it's a segment.
Oh, okay. Right. Cool. Okay, sorry.
Is that a regular thing now?
I think so,
what
yeah.
constitutes regular? We've done like 4 times at least.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
4 times? 10
yes.
times?
Yep.
10 times. Okay. So I've got a few comic book and just movie related news to get started. Hey, I'm just going to adjust this microphone. And by that, I mean the stool that the microphone sits on.
I think you mean the incredible amounts of technical equipment we have here. That's what you mean.
That's
right?
What I mean.
What you mean is your motion to our producer, and then he made an adjustment. Is that right? That's what you meant?
Gary.
Gary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great bloke.
Mm.
Okay, so you're familiar with the Amazing Spider-Man franchise.
No.
The reboot franchise. I know you've never seen it.
I'm aware of what it is, yes. Yes.
So what? Before we go on with this, what are your reasonings for not seeing Amazing Spider-Man again?
They make me sad. The Spider-Man movies make me sad on the inside. Single tear and it just goes down my face for an hour.
So he's not... You resent the fact that he's not happy-go-lucky?
Yep.
And you resent the fact that he's British?
Yeah, both those things.
Okay, cool. Well, look, maybe this title...
More like Andrew Dumfield. Yes. Cop that, mate.
I think I've got something that will turn around your opinion, though.
Okay.
You have to watch that movie
I'll watch it eventually. Fine. I'll watch it...
Before we see this sequel.
Do you have a legitimate copy that I can legitimately...
Of course I do.
Okay, I'll get that
legitimate
copy. It's
on my Blu-ray shelf.
Great.
Right next to my Walkman. next to all the other things that I definitely still have. This title will change your mind.
Okay.
The Amazing Spider-Man 2, Rise of Electro.
It doesn't, though.
Is it long enough?
It's certainly long enough, but also, why would anybody care about that?
Mm.
What? That's not a subtitle that encourages anyone to see it right.
No.
Who even knows who Electro is, aside from comic book nerds?
That's a really good point. Mm. Well, after Jamie Foxx makes him world famous.
Well,
yeah.
Well, I should say, Amazing Spider-Man 2, Jamie Foxx is in this one. Brackets, he's won an Oscar. Brackets, he was in Django, that was a good one. Brackets, he probably had a dick double in that scene. Brackets, but who cares? It's pretty good.
I'd definitely see that.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't see
I'd
that?
I'd see that, exactly.
Yeah, but look, that's not the only Amazing Spider-Man 2 Rise of Electro news. Like that's the tentative
That title. Would have been enough news for me, but the fact that you've got more is very
Don't you think they should just be like, call it the Spectacular Spider-Man or...
Yeah.
Just something like that. Not even that. Just something like that.
But then they would have to be... Like, shelved differently?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
At the DVD Blu-ray store that we go to often, legitimately, and buy things.
That's a good point. We'd never find it.
Yeah, we'd never find it, exactly. We'd have to download it illegally off the internet.
I think they've made a mistake though, even putting the 2 there. The Amazing Spider-Man is long enough without the Amazing Spider-Man 2. And then if you're going to change it to anything else, it just goes forever.
Yeah.
I'm actually looking forward to this one though, from the leaked footage that I've seen legitimately when we went to Comic-Con that time.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it might actually turn out okay. There's no trailer yet for this anyway, but you love the Spider-Man universe, and good thing too, because one of the Sony co-chairmen, can't remember her name off the top of my head, she came out and said there's going to be more Spider-Man movies with heroes and villains, maybe in their own kind of spin-off versions. So maybe we'll see a Venom. She didn't say anything specific. Maybe we'll see a Venom.
Worked out really well last time.
Are you talking about Spider-Man 3 Venoms?
Yes.
Yeah. What a...
Spider-Man 3 Venom. Topher Grace is in this one. Brackets. He's Venom. Brackets.
Probably at a dick double. Brackets. Yeah. So, do you think there's enough characters in just the Spider-Man universe to spit off, though?
Hang on. Are we spinning off, like, secondary heroes as well?
Yeah, just, I guess so,
like,
yeah.
Flash Thompson?
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Because, I mean, they may have changed it recently, but Flash Thompson is the new Venom.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I guess they could do that?
Yeah.
I mean, Spider-Man's got the best rogues gallery, I
he
think.
He does, yeah.
Almost any...
More than Batman?
He's got the best superpower rogues gallery.
Yeah, fair point.
Yeah. I don't know how many... I don't think...
More than Aqualad? Sorry.
Give me another Spider-Man ally though. Who else? You want an Aunt May solo movie?
Black Cat.
No.
No?
Tried it with Catwoman. Didn't fly.
No.
Nobody's going to try that again.
Yeah, fair
Might
point.
Be great, but it won't be great.
Yeah. I think Felicity Hardman is playing Black Cat in this one. There's a whole lot of...
Felicity Hardman is Felicia Hardy. That's interesting.
Ah.
To me. Just to me. No one
else.
I
may have got that name wrong. You know her though, right? She's in a bunch of stuff.
No.
Oh, never mind. She's British also.
Ooh. Oh, the most British Spider-Man movie ever.
The most British, yeah.
Crumpets.
So look, I think they should work.
Amazing Spider-Man 2, tea and crumpets, brackets.
I'd see that.
So, brackets, yeah. 11sies.
So yeah, Amazing Spider-Man 2, very excited then. Was that in sum up?
Yeah, it sounds really good. Cool. I don't want to preemptively give it best movie ever, but it's on the way.
Excellent. Well, this will make you really happy if you love sequels.
I do.
Die Hard 6.
What? No.
Wait, actually...
No. No.
I can't stop it. If you say...
Yeah, I guess you can't. That's true.
Okay, so, look, I as I think I said the other week, I turned off Die Hard 5.
Uh-huh, great.
About 10 minutes in.
10 minutes? Oh, you didn't even give it... Okay.
Nah.
You're still in Act 1 there.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But I hadn't heard good things, and at the start I'm like, this isn't very good, and I turned it off.
What part of it wasn't very good then?
It was kind of dull. They're not even, since 4, which I don't even hate 4, they're not really diehard movies.
They're just generic Bruce Willis movies.
They're generic Bruce Willis movies, yeah.
I've said before, and this is true, I think it's not true. It's a thing that I think.
It's true.
Yeah, I've got enough of an ego to think it's true. I think for Die Hard 4, he should have grown back his widow's peak.
Absolutely, he should have.
Like, if he can't, I assume he can't at this point. They could have just put that on. Because the entire premise of those movies is he's not having a good day at all.
Yeah.
And in the first, he looks worried all the time.
He does.
That thinning widow's peak on his head. And in Die Hard 4, which is the last one I saw as well, he's just a generic shaved-headed Bruce Willis hero guy. And he doesn't look like he's having trouble at all.
No, he's not. Well, that's the thing. I think that's the problem with where that series went. He became this kind of invincible Rambo action man.
Does he? And it looks like in 5 he's...
Well, that's pretty much what 5 looked out like to me. I mean, from the clips I've seen, like he jumps out of a window as a helicopter's shooting at him and his son, put his son in it, which is great.
Uh-huh.
The actor who plays his son, actually, he's a pretty good actor. Well, I think he's good. He's in Spartacus. But anyway, and he crashed out a window and he falls like stories and stories and then through like a glass ceiling and then like into a pool.
Through the glass ceiling.
Through the glass
ceiling. Wow, that's very progressive of the Die Hard films. Good on him.
So yeah, I think he's too. And then it's like the bit in 4, which again I didn't hate, where like he flings the helicopter
shot.
And he fights the jet with the truck.
Yeah,
like just a bunch of stuff. Like in 1, he kind of struggled to really do anything. Like a fist fight would be, he'd nearly die every time.
Yeah.
And this one, he's just kind of burning through.
Do you think he'd get less capable as the years went by?
Yeah, you would think
his knees would wear out and stuff.
Well, Die Hard 6.
Okay,
the rider,
brackets, his knees wear out. Brackets probably had a knee double.
So he's the writer, Ben Treblecook.
Fake name, sure.
No, real name.
Huh.
I actually reached out to Twitter to compliment him on his Die Hard story.
And his name?
Ben Treblecook.
Okay, fine.
I mean, I'm probably saying it wrong, but that's what it reads like in my head.
It sounds like Ben Treblecliff.
That's it.
Is he a giant musical note?
He's a giant musical note. Well, a Treblecliff isn't technically a note.
I know. What? Shut up. God. The last thing we need on this show is to start correcting each other's errors. That is a slippery slope to just leaping out this window. Don't do it.
So, okay, fair point. I apologize. John McClane.
Yep.
So the story is...
I'm on board so far.
He goes to Japan.
Was he in Russia in the last one?
He was in Russia in the last one.
No, I don't like this trend. Wait.
To be commended by the Nakatomi Corporation for saving lives 30 years before. The 36 lives he saved.
Yeah.
And again, apparently they're going to strip a whole lot away. He's going to be a lone wolf again, and he's going to be vulnerable. And he said, Ben Treblecook said, 1 and 3 are the best, which I absolutely agree with. Uh-huh. And that's what he's kind of trying to replicate. And Samuel L. Jackson might be in it as Zeus in a small appearance.
All right,
because he's always got a buddy.
The god Zeus.
Yeah, the god Zeus, yeah.
Great.
He's always got a buddy.
Yep.
Sometimes too much. Like, I think Justin Long...
too much.
I like Justin Long a lot, and I think he's good in that movie, again, but it's probably too much.
Yep.
And having his son hang around him the whole time, it's too much. Mm-hmm. It's Indiana Jones 4 all over again.
Yep.
Except, I'm going to say better, but it's probably not better.
Pretty much the same.
Pretty much the same. Yeah, so what do you think?
Good. Is it going to be set at Christmas again?
Sure, why not?
Good, then I'm on board.
Good, excellent. Okay, last bit of news for this week.
Mm-hmm.
There have been some Batman versus Superman titles that have been floating around.
I'm ready.
These are registered domain names.
Do any of them contain brackets at all?
All of them contain brackets.
Yes!
Okay, are you ready for this?
And they've registered domain names, so they could potentially be.
Potentially.
Okay, I'm ready.
Personally, I don't think any of these are going to be it.
Uh-huh.
But I'm just going to rattle these off. Yep. Stop me if you have anything to say at any point.
Okay.
Man of Steel, Battle of the Night.
Hate it.
With a K.
No, ugh, no. That sounds like maybe like an online game that you can play, like a
sword and sorcery game?
Yeah, like a Candy Crush kind of game where you're Batman or Superman and you just shoot candies at each other.
Crushing candy?
Yeah. But that is not. That cannot be the title.
Well, that's the worst one, so great. Don't worry.
Okay.
Man of Steel, Black of Night.
Still hate it.
I was lying when I said that was the worst one.
Yeah, you were, weren't you?
Man of Steel, Beyond Darkness.
No.
Man of Steel, Darkness Falls.
No, and it's also, remember that there was a film called Darkness Falls.
Was it?
I think so.
Oh, there's no more Darkness ones.
Okay, good.
Man of Steel, Darkness Within. There was one more. And Man of Steel versus All the Buildings in Metropolis.
I like that one.
That one I made up.
Yeah, that's good.
What do you think of any of those?
I hate them all.
Battle of the Night, Black of Night, Beyond Darkness, Darkness Falls, Darkness Within.
It's Battle, like Battle.
I didn't even think of that.
Ugh, awful. I hate it. I hate that on every level.
What do you think they should call it, though? I don't know. I don't know what they should call it.
Superman Batman or Batman Superman.
Just with a space? Yeah. Or a slash?
Not on a slash.
Just a space.
I think Batman, you know what, I hate to say it, but I think Batman versus Superman might be the best title, given that those are
the options.
Yeah.
What about World's Finest?
Yeah.
You know what,
I wanted it to be that, but nobody will ever do that.
You know what I think they should do? I had a brainwave this week.
Batman versus Superman, brackets, they fight for a while and then they're mates. Brackets, dick double. Okay, what's your brainwave?
Brainwave is, they call it Man of Steel.
Yep.
Not Man of Steel, sorry. Batman versus Superman or Superman versus Batman right up to the first trailer and then they reveal it as World's Finest.
Ugh.
So everybody knows that it's the Batman-Superman movie. You cannot drive that home enough.
Yeah.
And then they change the name.
That's genius. Has that ever been done before? You're a pioneer.
I am in many ways.
Mm, yeah.
Well, I did call this movie actually. Did you know that? I made a Justice League, making Justice League not terrible video and I called this movie. I said, don't make Justice League, make Batman versus... Not, I didn't say versus... Like a Batman Superman movie, and then they did it.
Huh.
Because I'm a genius.
Is that, or is it just a coincidence?
It's a massive coincidence.
It is, isn't it? I mean, how many more of your videos would you have gone through where you're like, I think they should make a movie where Aunt May fights Galactus, and then...
You saw that video?
Yeah.
I don't think you watched any of my stuff.
Yeah.
I also called Electro Into Darkness. Spider-Man 2.
Oh, I get it. Yeah. Okay, good.
Forget it.
No.
Okay, so that's all the news this week, unless you've got some news. Anything personal you want to talk about?
Got good.
Okay.
I'm eating more vegetables.
Good.
Yeah.
Greens?
It's lots of greens.
That's great. Yeah. You never used to eat a lot of greens.
I know, but I'm, you know, I'm concerned.
Sure. We're not getting younger.
No, exactly.
We're getting older and worse.
Mm, but cooler, certainly.
No.
Oh. Better eat more greens then.
But you're better. Mm. Okay.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Two things we're going to talk about today. I thought we'd start with Catching Fire. What do you think about that?
I think that's a good idea.
The reason I thought we'd start with Catching Fire is because a lot of people are not interested in Doctor Who. Catching Fire is a much more successful franchise, and some would argue infinitely better in every way. I'm only kidding for everybody watching.
He's not kidding, though.
I really... No, I am. I just thought, start with Catching Fire because it came out first.
It's more mainstream, man.
It's totally more mainstream. This movie made 70 million in its opening day in the US. It might have been worldwide.
It's more than I've ever made in a day.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Just.
Yeah.
Okay, before we... first question for you.
Yep, I'm ready.
Did you enjoy the first Hunger Games movie?
Yes.
Okay.
But I didn't see it at the time. And, it was okay.
Mm.
It was, you know, it was fun.
Did you,
strong female protagonist, that's good.
You know what I really liked about it? I've only seen the first Twilight. Uh-huh. I didn't hate it. I have no opinion on it.
That's an opinion, though. You didn't hate it. You have expressed on the internet your opinion about a Twilight movie. You idiots. You're in trouble. Doesn't matter what you do from this point
forward.
That's
a really good point.
You're on somebody's blacklist.
I had no interest to see the rest of them. Mm-hmm. Apparently, they're not good at all.
Uh-huh.
Except, I think in the last one, which they split the two, where there's a massive fight.
But why are they always splitting the last thing into two?
Because it makes more money.
Oh, yeah. Anyway.
We'll get to that on the Hunger Games as well. You know what I thought for Harry Potter worked well? I know you haven't seen it.
Haven't seen it.
That's a thick book. Uh-huh. I think I used in my Hunger Games review on my YouTube channel, Mr. Sunday Tubes.
Yep.
that book is as thick as a cow's head.
Yes.
And it could be split quite well.
Uh-huh, like a cow's head.
Exactly. Now, yeah. I enjoyed the first. Its budget was certainly a lot less than the second one. There's a lot of effects. Even though it came out March of last year, some of the blue screen effects and the fire effects that they have when they're wearing the fire.
It's
pretty garbage.
Yep.
Like, it looks like something they'll go, we'll take a punt on this. We'll spend all our money on Jennifer Lawrence. Because, you know, every now and then there's one of these teen girl or teen romance movies and they're just like, let's just see if anybody likes this.
Uh-huh, yeah.
They've got Mortal City, Instrument of Bones and...
What is that about?
I have no idea.
I don't know because I saw that on like a bus ad or something like that and I thought, what is that about? Oh, wiki that. It doesn't tell you. Like, at the time, there was no information. It was like, based on a book series. And it's got these guys in it. And it doesn't I think, are they in a band, maybe?
No.
Are they a band of, like, gypsy wizards or something?
Yes.
Great.
No, I think they're, I think it's something to do with magic. That's all I know.
That's great.
Then again, it might not have anything to do with magic.
Might be librarians.
Yeah.
Great.
Do you think, there's a whole lot of shaky cam in the first one as well, which they got rid of. The director of that movie, I can't remember what his name is.
Well, he was killed, though.
He was killed.
For all the shaky cam. This one is a lot, there's a lot less.
It's a traditionally shot.
It kind of looks like it's been filmed in, like, a tumble dryer. Like, they put the camera in a tumble dryer. Like, not
on... about the first one, right?
The first one. Yeah, like, not on high speed, but, like...
enough.
Like a gentle dry. Like, a gentle warm dry, and then it's just kind of... just slightly back and forth, the whole thing, yeah.
You notice it.
Yeah, you do.
You notice it. So that director left. Francis Lawrence. No, he's the guy who did this one. Whatever his name was, left. Because he didn't think there was enough time before the second one to get it done.
He's wrong, isn't he?
Well, yeah.
Yes. Probably because he keeps... it's probably because he's like, oh, do we have enough time to shake the camera back and forth for hours? Like, I've got to get the right rhythm. It's been a long time to get into that zone.
I need an extension cord for this tumble dryer. Yeah. But, do you think it's better than the first?
Yes.
Me too.
Good.
What about it, do you think?
Cut here. End of episode.
I liked that the stakes were raised.
Uh-huh.
It was a natural progression from the first.
Yep.
In the first one, it's like, it's basically the survival of two people.
Uh-huh.
And then it becomes, in this one, it becomes not only the survival of two people, two young people possibly or possibly not in love. Spoiler alert.
Ooh.
And,
we're spoiling this whole thing.
We're going to spoil the hell out of it. Okay, good. Yeah. Okay, spoilers good. For everything, by the way.
Right.
You should have seen it.
Yep.
Shame on you.
Yeah. If you weren't part of that $70 million opening weekend, you're letting Hollywood down. You know what I mean? Ugh. Come on, guys.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Shaking it doesn't work on this, does it? I like how it focuses on, like, your actions have affected the whole district. Districts.
Yeah.
And basically how that's going to spin out into all sorts of shenanigans across the 12 districts and the next two movies. And what about the performances?
Okay, I had two notes about that.
Let's go back.
Okay, one, Chris Hemsworth, for a guy who works down on the mines all day.
You mean Liam Hemsworth?
Liam Hemsworth.
Are we not correcting each other? No, sorry.
Just, mate, how dare you? Chris Hemsworth, Grace. Liam Hemsworth. For a guy who works down the mines all day, great hair.
Great hair.
Such, they just all have not great hair. But they do, don't they?
Yeah.
They're very pretty people.
They are.
Secondly, as far as casting goes, genuinely inspired casting, I thought, of Philip Seymour Hoffman as Philip Seymour Hoffman. Like modern day Philip Seymour Hoffman. Just, cause
they plugged him in.
Yeah, they plugged him in. Like, as this absolute direct contrast between like these coal mining, like sad village farmer people and these like fluorescent kind of Elizabethan fops. Like right in the middle. They're just this regular guy and they've clearly gone, okay, hey Phil, you're like a war game strategist in like this dystopian future. And he's like, great, I'm on board, I'll sign. And then day one, they're like, okay, so what you're going to be wearing is like knickerbocker jodhpurs and like silk stockings and little velvet shoes. And then maybe like a ruffled shirt and like a brocaded waistcoat and a powdered wig with a little top hat on. And he's like, no. And they're like, but we made it very fancy. And you're in this society, this high society. And he's like, I won an Oscar. What I'm going to wear is this suit that I woke up in. It's pretty much what I'm... And they're like,
it's
all
a
right,
nice
fine.
Suit.
Yeah, it's... No, yeah. But...
You're absolutely right, yeah. He really doesn't fit the flow.
He's good in it, though.
Yeah, he's great.
Mm.
Twister's Philip Seymour Hoffman. He's come so far.
Yeah.
He's in Twister.
Oh, yeah.
He's one of the chasers.
Well, for a while, he was like a... His role was like the Jack Black.
He was,
wacky
yeah.
character.
Yeah.
And he's sort of... grown out of that.
He's evolved.
As an adult man.
Maybe Mission Impossible 3 turned that around. Maybe Capote.
Well, he did win the Oscar for that.
Maybe the one where he played with Ben Stiller where he sharted.
It's probably... That was definitely it.
And he uses that exact line. Yeah.
That was the turnaround there.
Yeah. You're a fan of Jennifer Lawrence's performances?
She's great.
She is great, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah. Realistic. You know what else is good about her? She's like she's obviously very attractive, but she's a regular looking kind of attractive. Does that make sense? Not a generic kind of.
I'm staying out of this one.
I find
her very attractive. I find
that's what I'm
very
saying.
Yes.
I'm saying she's a natural beauty.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And she's very convincing, as opposed to everybody I'd imagine in Mortal City of Instrument Bones.
Yes.
Where everybody looks like
Bone Central.
Yeah, exactly. Bone Central looks like whatever. Mm. Josh Hutcherson, great. Mm-hmm. I thought as well. I thought he stepped up from the first one as well.
Well, he's a bit kind of limp in the first one.
Yeah.
It's kind of, but I don't know if that's, if that is part of the... That, I mean, that's definitely part of the character in the books, I assume.
Yeah. Well, he's supposed to be this kind of strong, kind of short, kind of baker kind of boy.
Like a... Yeah, okay, good.
Like a baker's boy.
Like a baker's boy, sure, definitely, yeah.
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 I know last week as well you mentioned how you wanted to see a really good wig from Woody Harrelson. What did you think?
Very good, I thought. Because, you can see kind of... You can see the roots of the hair just up the front there in the part. It looks good. It doesn't look like it's been taped down.
Yeah.
Travolta style.
Travolta style.
It looks like a good... No, it's a good wig. Yeah.
Fantastic. And you liked the poor man's Thor.
Yeah.
Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
You know what I thought about this? And people may disagree. Mm-hmm. They've been talking about doing a young Han Solo spin-off.
Uh-huh.
I think he'd be a good young Han Solo.
I'm on board with that, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think people are like, you dated Miley Cyrus, what a dickhead, he's not Thor or whatever. Uh-huh. I think he's got the look, he's got the hair, he's got the know-how, he's got the skills. He's got the spaceship.
Oh.
That's a Hollywood secret.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Yeah, and what's his name? Donald Sutherland's.
Mm.
Great. Spitting blood into a champagne flute.
Oh, subtle.
Yeah, very subtle. Because in the book, apparently he's, well, he is, because I've read this, he's got... He's got
blood, like, mouth.
Blood mouth. Blood ulcer in his mouth. Yeah. He's got the blood breath.
Oh.
And he's even got roses, I think, that smelled like blood.
Huh.
Yeah. Did you think, though, because it's obviously based on a book, it's a bit oddly structured.
Yes. It's oddly structured. The pacing's a little weird.
Yeah.
And we're going to bounce around all over the place with this one.
Certainly are.
I feel that because it's a book based on a book, there are... There seem to be pieces missing or there's context missing.
Have you read it?
No.
Mm.
That had I read the book, I would know that, like, right at the end, she's captured by, you know, she nearly dies. She hits the force field with the arrow.
Yeah.
She nearly dies. They pick her up in the ship.
Yeah.
And then they're like, hey, we're part of the revolution. I didn't see that coming. I didn't feel there was enough. Because Philip Seymour Hoffman, the Games Master...
Did you think he was the villain the whole way through?
Yes. Mm. Is there more subtle clues that I missed out on?
Well, actually, the only one I can think of off the top of my head, I read this last year and I'm probably misremembering, but he meets Katniss at the party.
Yep.
And he's like, what up, girl?
Mm-hmm.
He does that.
Yeah.
He's got his lovely powdery wig and whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he shows her a fob watch.
Uh-huh.
And he says later something like, that was a clue to kind of clue you into what was going on in the games.
Hmm.
Not a great clue, though.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Because... And again, this is one of those scenarios where you see the villain who is in league with the heroes doing villainous things.
Yeah.
But he's so villainous that you don't... Well, he's so intent on killing all the members of all the tributes in the Hunger Games that you don't...
So it would seem.
Yeah.
But all the ones, most of them who are with the revolution don't die or go in knowing that they're going to die.
But I thought there were a lot who could have potential. Like the moment where he spins the...
Yeah, but he stops that pretty quickly after she goes in. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but she could have been hit in the head with a really heavy object. Like a lot of, like, there's a lot of scythes and just big dumbbells and stuff on that thing. They could have flown off and hit her in the face and
that's
then she's dead.
Point. But like a lot of the time where President Snow's like, we should do something about this.
Yep.
And he always goes, I agree, let's wait.
Mm, yeah.
I've got a plan and it's a really convoluted plan to get her back in the Hunger Games and then and draw out her death and make it look like she's a bad person where every step that she takes though, I'm assuming he knows that she's going to do the right thing and not look like an idiot. And people won't turn on her.
That's true, but he does, if you recall, wait till everyone's asleep and then release mustard gas. like smart mustard gas that can follow you around.
But she was awake when that came through, didn't they?
Yeah, but come on.
Barely.
Come on.
Yeah.
That she was 1 second away from death that whole time. What I thought initially that they were gonna pull a Chinatown. You know, in Chinatown.
Never seen it.
Oh, okay, well. Well,
that's you're talking about the
Roman Polanski, Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, yeah.
But in Chinatown,
sequel to that,
it's not as good. It's really not. It's not.
Sorry, go on.
In that movie, Jack Nicholson gets a slice. He gets a knife into his nose, and he cuts out a big chunk of his nose, and he spends most of the film with a bandage across his face. Super, super handsome young Jack Nicholson. And I kind of thought that was going to happen with Hunger Games, where the main protagonists were going to have huge mustard gas blisters on their face for the remainder of the movie. I thought, oh, that's quite actually, you know, they're promoting, you know, non-Hollywood beauty and all that sort of thing. And it would be interesting to see them
But really. Magic water.
Magic water. It washes off blisters, apparently. Like big puffy blood blisters on your face. Just washes them right off.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Well, I guess you got to keep your main stars looking beautiful, don't you?
Mm.
Yeah. Did you like Finnick O'Dare?
I did. Mm. I thought it was Matthew Good initially. Ozymandias. Oh, yeah. Watchmen, but
he might be a bit old for that now.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's actually the guy you probably haven't seen it. I've barely seen it.
I've seen it. Based on our tracker. Pirates 4. No. 4's the worst. It's got to be the worst one, right?
I'll tell you this. 4 is better than 2 and 3. If they made Pirates 1, Pirates 4,
yeah,
it would have been like, okay, that's an okay follow-up.
What happens in 4?
That guy. Jeffrey Rush, his name's Sam. Yep.
Yeah, okay.
His name's Sam Claflin, uh-huh. His name is. He's like the Orlando Bloom, and he's a priest, and then he gets saved by a mermaid or something.
Right. Was Pirates 4... No original cast members except Johnny Depp and Jeffrey Rush.
I think there might be a few others. But yeah, pretty much.
Great.
Yeah. There's like the guy's like, "Arr, Jack! You're my friend, Jack!" That's my New York accent.
It was really good. No, that was worth it.
Yeah, the mutton chops and he's got the ponytail.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I think there might be a few others. Uh-huh, but yeah, it's fine.
Mackenzie Crook, is he still in it?
No, I don't think so.
Hmm. Yeah. Boo.
Boo indeed.
Worst movie ever.
Just quickly, sidebar.
Yes, from the sidebar.
Have you seen Almost Human?
Is that the one?
Mackenzie Crook's in it. It's got Judge Dredd, Carl Urban.
Okay, Urbanzy. Sure.
What's his name? The robot in it. I can't remember his name.
HAL 9000.
That's the one.
Data.
And where it's like a procedural. It's a procedural cop show, but it's set in the future, and he's got an android buddy.
Huh.
It's only 2 hours. Oh no, it'll be 3 episodes in by the time this comes out. And I think it's a pretty good show. I think it's doing really well. You should watch it.
I will.
Yeah.
Put him on the pile.
Mackenzie Crook.
Yep. Great.
Okay.
Does he still feel like Gareth from The Office?
No.
Is there a way? He can't escape that in many ways.
Not really. No, he's less wacky. Uh-huh. He's like a robotics nerd.
Right. Okay.
So yeah, there you go.
He's not the main hero.
No, surprisingly.
Yeah,
not.
Okay, well, he can break out of that, I'm sure.
Yeah. What about the villains, the other tributes? Not the what about, first of all, what are the good, the nice tributes? What do you like?
I was not expecting to see Jeffrey Wright. In
Jeff. Oh yeah.
Or Amanda Plummer, I'll be honest with you. I feel Amanda Plummer has been typecast as that since Pulp Fiction. She's been typecast as just like weird,
crazy,
mentally deranged kind of.
Is she in High Fidelity?
Probably.
No, I don't think she is actually. Yeah, no, she is. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Uh-huh. She's in So I Married an Axe Murderer as Nancy Travis's crazy sister.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think she's. Yeah, well, you know what? She's found a niche for herself.
She has. Yeah,
it's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
Fine, how did Jeffrey Wright, I'm not going to use his character's name because I can't remember it. How did
Nuts and Volts?
Yeah, Nuts and Volts, there he is.
He's one of those.
Oh, yeah. How did he smuggle in that huge length of wire?
I think it was in there, because in the center of the arena at the start.
Oh, you get
they've
stuff.
Got, and normally in the center they give you your weapon.
And his is a big length of wire.
His length of wire. Because that's how he won his Hunger Games. Oh. He electrocuted a bunch of people and then went, raise the roof!
Right.
Girlfriend! I'm not doing well today, I feel like. I'm really tired.
Quick behind the scenes.
Sure.
Every time we record this, you're either really tired or hungover or still drunk from the previous night. It's quite admirable that you continue, because were I in that state, I would have cancelled. So,
got to get it out there. Got to give the people what I presume they want.
I don't think. I think got to give people what they're going to force down their throats and ear holes.
I wonder what it'd be like if I just had a good night's rest, had a good breakfast, and did this.
Mm.
I think it'd be worse.
I think it'd definitely
it'd
be worse.
It'd just be me all...
You'd be real chipper.
I'd be so fucking chipper.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, what about the villains? I thought not as well fleshed out. But not to their detriment. Because I think the real villains are the government.
Correct.
Specifically Jon Snow.
Just like in real life.
Just like real life, yeah. Like, you know, these are the toughest guys that have ever been in the Hunger Games.
Right.
And then straight away, Kat just shoots one with that guy at the foot with an arrow.
Yeah.
Who's actually Aquaman from the Smallville series.
Ugh.
And then later she comes out and she shoots him in the heart with an arrow.
Great.
So that's all the...
Yeah, that was pretty tough, yeah.
Yeah. But I think that's okay. I think there doesn't need to be as big a focus on the other villains.
Although thinking about that, you know, there was probably a lot of unnecessary exposition about those characters.
Okay,
if they're all
going
to be killed so easily, then why bother?
They're like, these are the greatest people to ever win the Hunger Games. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Arrow.
Arrow.
Dead. Right.
What about Lenny Kravitz?
I feel his death was telegraphed very obviously.
Oh, you knew that was coming?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're like, you know, they show the amazing costume and then, you know, Snow has a quick look at him and John shakes Snow. His head. Yeah, and just makes the slashy throat motion, you know. What my feeling is, why, as that character, would you build that costume, which is clearly an affront to the Capitol,
yeah,
and then not go underground forever?
Immediately,
yeah. Forever. I feel you should have just disappeared and not shown up at the heavily fortified Hunger Games arena.
There was
no reason for him to be there except to say, hey, that costume's pretty light, so it's probably be a nice temperate environment to be in. Oh, I'm being killed now.
I think he's miscast.
How do you mean?
I don't think in the book he's a very pivotal, influential, inspiring kind of role model for her. She gets to the Capitol and everyone's the biggest dickhead in the world.
Right, and he's not the biggest dickhead.
Even Woody Harrelson guy, the guy he's supposed to be.
Woody Harrelson guy.
Hamish Macbeth. That's
yeah,
his
Hamish
name.
Macbeth. Sure.
They've all got slightly different names. Like he's Hamish. Yep. Peter is P-E-E-T-A, so it's Peter.
Yep.
And whatever.
Embarrassing.
Plutash Knafnes.
Oh yeah.
I think that's.
That's my mailman's
name.
Plutarch.
Yeah. I think he's. I don't think Lenny Kravitz has the chops to pull that off. I think he's fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think he could have put somebody better in.
You think he's a block of wood?
Pretty much.
And. Well, yeah, she did seem incredibly inspired by him just saying, hey, you're all right. Here's a costume.
You're a star.
I don't feel that CGI's gotten any better.
Really? I think if you went...
If you went back, maybe. The jet, the vertical takeoff jet, looks incredible.
Yep.
I'll give you that.
Thank you.
Looks delightful. No problem. But a lot of the other stuff is clearly... It's clearly secondary to everything, and they put it on the back burner until the last minute. Like there's a bit where the train is going through a rainy area, and you see the wash of water coming off the tracks. That looks terrible.
Okay, that's really
terrible.
Yeah, fair point. Mm. Hey, it's only $140 million movie.
Oh yeah, good point. Yeah, sorry.
There are limitations.
There are, aren't they?
Yeah, I think the fire effects I thought stepped up quite a bit though. I mean, I know it's not supposed to be real fire. That they're kind of engulfed in. But there's a bit where they've got the CGI fire in the first one and it looks like CGI fire.
They've just blue screened. They've just set a fire in the corner and blue screened it over the top.
Yeah. Now, is there anything else? Oh, no, actually I want to talk about the third book just quickly. Uh-huh. Third movie. No spoilers for this if you haven't read it or if you're more of a fan of the books than the movies. The third book, I believe, is...
Books for nerds.
Yeah, we've established that. Books are for nerds. I think it's the weakest of the trilogy.
Uh-huh. Why is that?
Without spoiling anything, there's no actual kind of Hunger Games. Without going into it too much of why or what actually transpires through that. It's full credit for going where they did at the end. It took a twist I didn't expect.
Ooh. Disco dance party?
Yes.
That's how they do it.
Like a Shrek-style karaoke dance party, yeah. But I think I definitely think the first book is the best, followed by the second, followed by the third movies. I think this is going to peak with number two.
Okay, there you go. You're up for four torturous hours.
I think it'll still be fine, but it's not a massive book either. Uh-huh. It's just, I can't even remember that much of it. Uh-huh. I didn't even read it that long ago, but I can't even think of a good spot to even split it without it feeling forced or feeling like you're not getting your money's worth.
Huh.
So, yeah. Anyway, we'll know at the end of 2015 when this comes out.
Oh, also, special shout out to Stanley Tucci.
Oh, he's the best. As
just a greasy, oily reality TV show, kind of. The whole thing felt... It's very of its time. And I don't... Was The Hunger Games the book series written recently? Or?
Recently, yes. Yeah.
Okay, because it does feel... The entire series does feel very of its time insofar as it's very reality show.
Reality TV's got out of hand.
Yeah, and it's very... Yeah. It's very, here's this woman who's, you know, she's famous.
Yeah.
Who cares why she's famous? She's famous and, you know, let's tour her around because she's famous kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Mm. I was going to say.
Yeah. He's so greasy and it's great.
He is. I mean, he nails that character in the book. Huh. He's a big part of the book.
Love it.
Now, are we ready to give our rating?
Yes.
So, well, on my review... If anybody who has checked it out, I called it the worst movie ever because shooting arrows is dangerous.
It is, isn't it? I didn't even think of that. That's really... She could hit anyone. Like, she could have... Ah, oh, that's a really good point.
Yeah. It's amazing how many people don't get that.
Yeah.
I mean,
they think it's all fun and games, don't they?
It is, yeah.
But if you've lost an eye or something.
Not cool.
Yeah. Katniss Everdeen, if that is your real name. It's not. It's Jennifer Lawrence. All right, I'm ready to give a review.
Go.
I was going to give it best movie ever.
Uh-oh.
Because Philip Seymour Hoffman is in it. But I'm going to give it worst movie ever because he's not actually literally portraying Philip Seymour Hoffman. Which I think would be great if, like, it's still a future and somehow he survived. Have you remember that film, The Island?
Yeah.
The film The Island, Ewan McGregor.
We saw that together.
Yeah, he plays a character who realizes, he discovers that he is a clone of this future kind of, he's an architect, he's a businessman, and he's sort of a stuntman daredevil.
Yeah.
And that man is intending to harvest the character's organs later on.
Yeah.
And that movie isn't very good, but I feel it would be much improved if Ewan McGregor's character turned out to be a clone of the future's Ewan McGregor. Like Hollywood has driven him mad and he's just there just to harvest organs.
And remember at the end of the movie, he's just like, I want your organs, Claw!
Give me your organs, you Claw! Yeah, exactly. You put actual Ewan McGregor in. He'd agree to that. He's a good sport, I think.
He would. He's like a great bloke.
But anyway, my point is, not actually Philip Seymour Hoffman, worst movie ever. Sorry, folks.
Understandable.
Wes Bentley wasn't in it with his ridiculous...
Well, he died at the end of the other one.
Doesn't matter.
He ate the berries.
Doesn't matter. Put him in flashback.
Fair point.
Yeah.
Wes Bentley. For a guy who was supposed to be a really big actor, he's not doing much, is he?
No. He was in Hunger Games.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good. So shut up.
Was he in Catching Fire?
No, he's dead. He ate the berries.
I ate the berries.
You idiot.
I'm an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's pretty much all we've got to say about The Hunger Games Catching Fire.
Good discussion.
Great discussion.
Although, when we get into the next topic, if I do think of something about The Hunger Games, I'm just going to say it.
Fine.
Good.
I will not veto that in any way.
We're very professional.
Now, second thing we're going to talk about, the second topic. Big event. Big BBC worldwide event.
Yep.
I saved it till second, as I said, because The Hunger Games is a series of multi-million dollar movies. And Doctor Who is a TV show about men in rubber suits.
Yep, that's exactly it. And women. And women.
But to be fair...
Some of the suits are made out of wood and aluminium foil. So...
To be fair, though, I think Doctor Who will probably last longer.
Yeah, definitely.
In popularity.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, it's not getting...
Middling popularity.
Middling popularity, yeah. I'm a fan of Doctor Who. Uh-huh. You're aware of that.
Yes.
You hate Doctor Who.
I don't hate Doctor Who, but I kind of hate Doctor Who. Look... I like the idea of Doctor Who. I think the premise is great.
Yep.
I'm kind of happy that it has existed for so many decades. 50 decades. So
it's not technically 50.
No, it's 50 decades. It's 500 years.
You're right.
It's been around for 500 years. It started as cave paintings.
Yep.
And then it became Renaissance art.
Leonardo just da Vinci. It got
rebooted by Leonardo da Vinci. He discovered it. And then it was... Then it was smoke signals for a while. And then it was semaphore. And then...
What's semaphore?
It was the flags.
Yep.
And then it was Morse code. And then you can download it from the internet for free. That's the progression of Doctor Who. And look, it's been a good idea, but... And there have been really good standout episodes.
Absolutely.
But I feel that... And what I feel like is that... The modern-day Doctor Who is sort of the distillation of everything that has been good about Doctor Who over the last 50 years, and they've sort of they've put it in its component elements, and they've put it all together, and they've improved the special effects. And so in an ideal world, it'd be a great series, but it isn't. I feel that... are you familiar with the concept of the Mary Sue?
No.
Which is kind of... It's kind of a, like in fan fiction, when somebody writes a fan fiction about a certain... like any kind of series or movie or anything like that. The Mary Sue is a character, who can be male or female, who's sort of, it's the stand-in for the author.
Oh,
and
okay,
they're the
yeah,
best at everything, or yeah. what have you, or the main character of the series falls in love with them.
Yeah.
Or, you know, they outstrip all the other characters in terms of skill or just being a great person, and they solve everyone's problems.
And a lot of time they're good for no reason.
Yeah, exactly, they're good for no reason.
Like Harry Potter's just the best.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Because... Well, I feel that in a lot of cases, the Doctor... is that he is the fan fiction character who's been inserted into his own universe. Because he's always the best at everything, and he's always got all the knowledge, and there's very rarely a character who can challenge him or is his equal in any level.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Occasionally, like maybe for a few episodes, you might get the Master show up.
Yeah, exactly.
But then he would usually deal with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Because everybody will say his name at the same time.
And then he'll be free from magic, the cake. Yeah. And also, there is a lot of that. That's my second. There's a lot of... And it's that lupus syndrome where it's... If we say... Here's another concept for you, which I recently learned.
Do you hate Looper?
Oh, my God. There's another concept which I learned recently. It's like a screenwriting term. It's called hanging a lantern on it or hanging a lampshade on it, which is where you, if there's a ridiculous thing that happens,
yep.
If you in story comment on how ridiculous it is, people tend to give it a pass.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So like if you know a detective comes into a bar and he's looking for information and like 50 guys decide to beat him up and then it cuts to 2 minutes later and he's just like, you know. Like dusting himself off, and he's like, "Well, that was really easy. That was so easy that I just beat all those guys." Nobody will be like, "Yeah, it was. It was suspiciously easy. And it made no sense, you know." And I feel there's an awful lot of that. Do you remember there was a Doctor Who. There was a premise of one season of Doctor Who was that in the first episode, the Doctor Who. I'm going to call him Doctor Who for the remainder of this because I know it's going to annoy people. So at the start of the series, Doctor Who is killed by someone in an astronaut suit.
And okay, yeah.
We go in that episode, because what happens is I'll start a season with fresh eyes.
Yeah.
And I'll go, maybe this one will be great, and then it turns out not to be great. And then
not the best season either.
Great.
Yeah, sorry, go on.
So he's killed, and then he's examined, and they say, okay, this is definitely the Doctor, like down to a genetic level, it's really him. He hasn't regenerated. There's no way to get him out of this. This is a fixed point in time. He cannot escape this. How'd they get him out of it, James?
He was a little version of himself in a robot version of himself.
There we go. There we go, exactly.
River Song froze time.
Of course he did.
All time and space converged, so Winston Churchill was Prime Minister in the present day with dinosaurs.
Yep,
and
of course.
Blimps and everything else. And then he was in a robot version of himself, and he was piloting it from the eye... And then that version was shot by River Song, who was in the spacesuit. What part of that do you not get?
Yeah, you've made a really good point. And see, I like the idea of all these... I really like the idea that Winston Churchill is the Prime Minister in the present day and there's dinosaurs. I think that's fun.
Yeah.
But I don't... I feel that there's too many of the plot points hinge on these things making sense.
Yeah.
I feel if it was more like a... If Doctor Who was more a metaphorical journey... where nothing really has to be explained, it would make a lot of sense. But to go, all these things make perfect sense, you're an idiot for not getting it. No, none of them make any sense.
Look, I don't think that's a very strong season. I think there are obviously some seasons that are better than others. There's a couple of the David Tennant seasons which are really, really good.
I enjoy them, yeah, okay.
The first Matt Smith season I think is great because it builds to a really logical conclusion. And if you don't mind, I'm happy to break that down for everybody.
Okay, good.
In rap.
Ooh. No, go ahead.
I'm really not.
Okay.
But, basically, it all boils down to, at the end, he finds this Pandora's box.
Power of love?
He finds the power of love.
Uh-huh.
He finds... on cassette.
Yep, great.
He finds this box.
Uh-huh.
Have you seen it?
I think you've explained it to me before.
I probably have. But, this, I think, is the peak of Matt Smith's run as the Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Not that he's bad at all, and not that there isn't good standalone episodes,
yep.
But this particular bit's amazing.
Uh-huh.
And this box is to keep the ultimate trickster, monster, warrior in the universe, to keep him in that box.
Right.
So he goes in thinking that this thing is in this box,
yep.
And the box starts to open, and he's like, what could possibly be in here, this worst thing in the universe? It opens up, and it turns out the box is empty, and it's been built for him.
Mm.
So he is the biggest threat in the galaxy. He's the menace. All these villains have got together just to stop him.
Huh.
Great twist.
That is a good twist.
And then I think it's a really good conclusion to that series. A whole bunch of other stuff happens and a lot of stuff that doesn't make sense, like the Rory's a Roman centurion, plastic man, and then
right,
when he becomes human, he can still remember even though it's different. If you don't know what I'm talking about, people listening, I'm not going to go into
pause the podcast, watch 5 seasons of Doctor Who, and then come back, and everything will be fine. No, I don't know. There are a lot of individual episodes that I really enjoy. I never really enjoyed the Eccleston episodes.
I haven't seen a lot of them.
The David Tennant Christmas special, it stands out as a high point to me.
Yeah, definitely. That's when I jumped on board.
Yeah, yeah. And again, it didn't rely on It didn't rely on weird time travel paradoxes or weirdness or the Doctor being the best at everything. He just had a little bit of insider knowledge.
Yeah.
He knew that you can't kill somebody with hypnosis, and you know the villains were just sort of, they were bluffing the whole time.
Yeah.
That was kind of a fun twist. That was nice.
And then he killed that guy.
Then he killed that guy by dropping him off the side of a big tall thing.
That was a big moment for the David Tennant Doctor. He's like, oh, I'm goofy and fun. But then he was like, no second chances.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, I'll kill you with a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Do you think he's the best Doctor? I mean, I haven't seen much of the older stuff, and I'll never ever go back.
Good. That's a really good idea. I find I didn't like... Again, I don't hate Doctor Who. I enjoy the odd episode. I found that when Matt Smith was introduced, I didn't care for him at all.
Yeah.
But I've come to realise, because something happened in the more recent Doctor Who episodes, that I only hated him for aesthetic reasons. Because David Tennant had a better suit. because Matt Smith, black pants, brown jacket, don't care for it. Weird rosé-coloured shirt, right, with the pattern's too close to the jacket. It's jarring to the eye. Bow tie, too much shirt front. It's jarring.
I thought you were going to say his dumb head or something.
Also, his dumb head. He's got a dumb head, like a moose man. I apologise. He's great. People like him. But then they've tweaked the outfit. They've given him a waistcoat.
Yeah.
So now less shirt front for the bow tie.
Yeah, they've changed it up. Little
frock coat.
He's a little bit more classy.
I like it. Now I'm totally on board. That's weird, right?
Just before he's gone forever.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I guess we should probably get to...
Oh, let's get to it.
...the actual episode.
Yeah.
We've only just watched it. Did you see it at the cinema? He asks, knowing that you didn't.
I did not. I watched it this morning in bed eating cookies and cream donuts.
Wow.
I know, right? Which is, whereas other friends of ours went on a charity fun run today.
They did.
Yeah.
Fistful of chalk in the mouth.
That's the one.
Yeah. Anyway, not going to get into that. Did you like it?
I really did.
That's what I've written here. Did you like it?
I actually really did enjoy it.
Cool. That's really good. What did you like
about
it? But
again, I'm going to watch two more episodes and then not watch it anymore.
Well, look, I think if anybody's going to jump on board Doctor Who, you should probably start with a new Doctor. Would you agree with that?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, do you think Peter Capaldi...
Who makes a teeny weeny little appearance. Are we spoiling this?
Yeah, we're going to spoil it.
Okay, good.
It's literally on the internet.
It's literally legitimately available in HD for free everywhere.
Like. Oh, it is too. Yeah, it's on the BBC website. It's on Australian iView. It's on whatever website they have in America. Google?
It's on Google.
So, yeah.
It's on Alta Vista.
I thought...
It's on geocities.com/Hollywood and Vine. That's where it is.
I thought it wasn't very... Yes. And not to its detriment, I actually like this about it. It wasn't very new fan friendly. So if you're coming in, you're like, this is going to be my jumping off point.
It's really
there's
not,
a bit that start with a kind of like explains that he's a time traveler and who he is and what he's about, and then it's just like nonsense.
Yeah,
if you don't understand what
regeneration is,
get out of here.
Figure out. Yep, exactly. Yeah. If you don't know who the Time Lords are, you don't know about their planet Gallifrey.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Things like. Captain Jack, they mentioned Captain Jack.
They do, yeah.
Bad Wolf, they mentioned Bad Wolf.
Yep.
Trenzalore, which is only a recent thing.
Yeah, yeah. Rose Tyler is in it, but she's not referred to as Rose.
Yeah, because she's not actually Rose, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she speaks primarily to John Hurt, who doesn't know her yet.
Yeah.
So, it's really... It's quite dense.
Well, I saw people who were clearly... Even passing fans of the show didn't understand a lot of it. Things like, wait a minute, is John Hurt... Did he come after, or was he before, or all that kind of thing?
Well, those people have clearly missed the mini-episode.
Oh, yeah, Minisode.
The Minisode, the mini-webisode.
Yeah. But I liked that, though. I liked little things like, you know how Queen Elizabeth, how he's going to marry Queen Elizabeth?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's a few seasons back, and I can't even remember which Doctor it is. Probably Matt Smith, I have no idea. But the Queen Elizabeth, older Queen Elizabeth, hates the Doctor.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's never explained why, and he's like... She's like, why does Queen Elizabeth hate me? He's like, I don't fucking know. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
And it turns out to be for this reason.
Uh-huh.
But little things like that I really, really enjoy.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It's not casual fan friendly. Well, as a casual fan or non-fan, I got most of the references.
Yeah.
I was on board with it. But yeah, I mean, that in many ways, that's not treating the fans as if they're idiots.
Mm.
You do have to, if this is the 50th anniversary, you do have to tread a fine line between hey, maybe we'll get some new fans in, and hey, let's not treat our actual fans as idiots.
Yeah. Mm. And I think they definitely lent towards the let's not treat our actual fans as idiots, yeah. Which is fine, I think.
If we get it, let's switch media just for 1 second. I feel that's DC lost me. DC Comics lost me with the New 52.
Oh, you're one of those.
I'm one of those people, because I feel that just making noises. That universe had been chugging along quite merrily for about 25, 30 years,
yeah.
that particular iteration of that universe. And then with the New 52, they've kind of said, hey, all the old fans, we don't care about you because you're not part of our new media strategy.
Okay.
Like, these are all more, we've just rebooted everything so that it's more kind of movie friendly and action figure friendly. And so,
do you think that's what happened though when they did the similar thing, Infinite Crisis or whatever it was in the 80s? Do you think there would have been those same people who were like, I've been reading comics since I was a babe?
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying there, but I feel that reboot, the Crisis Infinite Earths reboot,
was to clean it up?
Yeah, it cleaned it up, but it also kept the previous universes sort of in a context. They still existed in that timeline in a way.
Okay, fair point, yep. And anyway, Superman's punching through realities and whatever. And
that was a bit silly, though. Anyway, back to Doctor Who.
Yeah. Okay, that's interesting. Did you like the David Tennant appearance?
Yes, I did.
Eso.
Yep.
His hair wasn't as big.
I know, right? Yeah.
They flattened his hair right down.
Mm, so that was clearly early work. Oh, no, it can't have been. From where was that Doctor Who taken?
I think it was after Rose Tyler.
Yeah, it must have been.
Because John Hurt mentions Bad Wolf and he's like, what? And Rose isn't with him.
Right, yeah.
You know what I would have liked to seen?
What's that?
Seen?
Yes.
There's another David Tennant Doctor Who, a human Doctor Who, living in another dimension.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
With Rose Tyler.
Uh-huh.
That's a great way to bring back Doctor Who in, say, even 20 years, because he can age.
Yeah,
so you can bring back David Tennant when he's 62 or whatever he'll be.
Uh-huh.
And it will make sense for him to age, because, like, I'm not the Time Lord Doctor Who, I'm the human Doctor Who.
Does that Doctor Who have all the memories of the previous Doctor Who?
He has the up to a point. Huh. Up to the point where they split.
Yeah.
Where he goes to the other dimension and lives with Rose, presumably bored out of his brains.
Absolutely. Bored out of his... time traveling right now. I mean, anywhere. On the beach in Sheffield. I don't even know if that is a beach.
Yep.
Great.
I don't know.
Yep.
Yeah, it was great. You know what? I would have liked to see a proper Christopher Eccleston appearance.
That would have been nice. They've just used stock footage.
Yeah,
right?
That's for all the Doctors except for one, which we'll talk about in a minute. Actually, two.
Yeah.
One. I think, and this is a theory of mine and I might be wrong, originally the John Hurt
character... We're almost certainly wrong. Uh-huh, I'm ready.
I got that Batman thing right that one time.
Yeah, that one time.
That John Hurt role was written for Christopher Eccleston.
Yeah.
Because he could have been the Doctor who stopped the Time War.
That's really...
I mean, they changed it a bit so that everybody hates John Hurt and whatever, because he's the one to start the war.
Yeah.
But don't you think that would have... Not to discredit John Hurt, he was great, as somebody who'd never been in any previous Doctor Who episodes except for the last
one. Or
in
very little sci-fi, just generally. Probably very confused.
Alien?
Yeah, still.
He was a... I was going to say he's a robot. He's not a robot in that. That's the other British guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have loved to see... He was even wearing a Christopher Eccleston esque leather jacket.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he changes into Christopher Eccleston at the end and whatever. But I would have loved
to... We assume so. We don't see that. Maybe he turns into another Doctor Who.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
You see, it's slightly... They actually stopped
like
and I went back
or
and
something.
I went back and it looks like he is slowly morphing into him.
Okay, right.
But it also means we're up to our 13th Doctor.
Hmm.
Which brings me to...
Yes.
I don't think they're obviously not going to stop at 13 Doctors.
Why would they?
Originally, it was going to be for those who don't know. And if you've listened this far, you clearly know. Otherwise, you would have stopped a long time ago. Because it just sounds like we're talking nonsense. There are going to be 13 incarnations of the Doctor. And if they slot in the John Hurt Doctor, the Warrior Doctor, then that pushes everybody else up.
Uh-huh.
And it becomes 13. So Peter Capaldi would be the last Doctor.
Right.
That being said, then he runs into... what's his name? Long scarf guy. Tom Baker Doctor.
Yep.
Who's old. Who specifically says something like, oh no, I've gone back to this face.
Right.
Which means that that's not the original Tom Baker Doctor, but Doctor at some point has then gone back and taken on the Tom Baker form, which is apparently something he can do now.
There you go.
So yeah. So I don't think he's limited by that anymore.
Good. Well, I mean, that's a completely arbitrary number that they put in the 60s where...
We're never going to get to this.
No, exactly. This thing will literally never happen, so... And it was a It was a money-saving thing, essentially. Yeah. Or, you know, well, this guy can't do it anymore, so let's just switch him out. Let's invent this scenario, yeah.
I believe, and I may be wrong, but I'm definitely right, as I am on most things, that originally they swapped out the original Doctor, and he was supposed to be just a younger version.
The original Doctor Who, sorry.
With just a younger version of himself. So he wasn't really supposed to be a different person. Again, I haven't seen this. This is just what I've read, so it's probably wrong. So it's supposed to be a younger version. Mm. Then they just went, oh, let's just get different guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like a James Bond. There's also a theory that James Bond is a Time Lord.
Oh, I hate it.
Well, it makes sense.
No, it doesn't.
Sure.
Yeah.
You're right.
It doesn't make... Let's not even talk about it.
Okay. Yeah. Did you like seeing Tom Baker, though?
Yes, I did. That was great. Yeah. Mm. But I would have... Again, if they're going to get Tom Baker, why not get the rest of the team?
Yeah.
There's so many that's still alive. I don't...
Yeah, most of them I would think are alive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they pull one every now and then. Who's the guy who had the salary? I don't know which one he is.
Oh, Peter Davison.
Yeah, he's in
five. I think he's five.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah, he was in that Children in Need special. Yeah, that was fun. Yeah.
That's it. And he's his daughter, funnily enough, plays David Tennant's Doctor Who daughter in a Doctor Who episode, and then David Tennant married her in real life.
That's great. Yeah.
She's pretty hot though.
Okay, good. Well, that makes perfect sense. Yeah. Then let's, any uneasiness aside, that's, you know what I did appreciate about this episode is that, because I really enjoyed it up until the last 5 minutes, and then I thought what they were going to do was totally cop out and change the history, because Stephen Moffat came on board after it was, did Stephen Moffat come on board after it was revealed that the Doctor killed lots of people in the Time War?
I believe so.
I feel he did. Yes. And
he'd written a few. He wrote like Weeping Angels, Girl in the Fireplace. Two of my favourite episodes.
There you go.
So go on.
So I feel what they were going to do, and again, because I feel that Doctor Who is Stephen Moffat's kind of Mary Sue character, where he doesn't want anything bad to happen to this character, and he wants, you know, everything to be great all the time. What I feel that was going to happen is he was going to retcon the scenario, so the Doctor never did kill anyone in the Time War. And so now he's this great hero because he's come up with the solution.
Yeah.
And it would ruin the timeline.
Yeah.
And it would ruin everybody's memories, and it would make the last few seasons completely invalid.
But
he was going to do it because he loves the character so much, and he can't bear the idea that the character has done anything villainous at all.
Yeah.
And so I assumed when the twist happens at the end, I assumed that was going to happen.
Yeah.
But they have cleverly headed me off at the pass and my many complaints by tweaking it so none of them have any memory of that. So he did, in fact, save them all.
Yes.
So the timeline is
restored.
Timeline is the same.
Yeah.
But they all still feel that he was the villain.
Yes.
They do. Everybody still believes that he killed everyone.
Yeah.
He didn't. But and the timeline remains the same.
They still did that thing that you hate, though, where he's the best guy in the world.
Oh, yeah, that's a good universe. Point. Yeah. But
yeah,
then
but
again,
they cover that well.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Because otherwise, it changes everything. And God, that would be so incredibly confusing.
I know, right?
So I'm guessing the rest of the, or for the near future, Doctor Who's going to be looking for Gallifrey.
Good point. Yeah.
Does it make it less special, though? It's like Krypton coming back.
New Krypton, exactly. Yeah.
Is it...
Not really. I mean, they never found Earth on Red Dwarf. So they could go... He could go for another 20, 30 years not finding Gallifrey, surely. Yeah.
I want to talk plot holes specifically about
Let's
Gallifrey.
Let's do this. I'm ready. I'm ready to talk plot holes.
I'm sure there
it's
are...
like I was born for this moment.
I'm sure there are a few more than this one that I'm going to say, but this is just from the top of my head.
I'm ready.
I thought about it at the time, which I didn't put in my online review because I didn't want to spoil
your
anything.
Online review on the internet.
On the internet machine.
Yep.
Now, and the last David Tennant episode, before this one, obviously, the one where he dies and he regenerates. In that movie show, TV BBC show.
Magic Lantern.
The Master is being tortured through time with drums in his head to bring back the Time Lords.
Right.
Bring them into the present day.
Yep.
And then they're like, that's great, David Tennant. Everybody who you killed.
Yep.
They're going to bring them back. And he's like, holy shit, no. You don't know what happened. At the end of the war, everybody was a monster.
Right.
Gallifrey should never return. I'm gonna shut this down forever. I hate everybody there now.
Right.
And that's what he does.
Uh-huh.
And now, everybody's back.
Well, there you go.
And that's a good thing.
Little kids, though. He's brought back a little kid, so that's nice.
That's true, yeah. But don't you think there's some kind of don't know.
If we get to see Timothy Dalton again, yes. I'm on board.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's great.
Because he basically just, he shut down, he killed them twice, essentially, as far as he knows.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. But you don't care?
Nah, he's learned to live with it. He'll be fine.
All right, I think that's anything else to Doctor Who about?
I wonder what Peter Capaldi's outfit will be.
Oh, it's make or break for you, isn't it?
It really is such a, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Maybe just a t-shirt and jeans.
Yeah, t-shirt and jeans.
Maybe a leather jacket and a tie.
Oh.
And a bandana.
Oh, boy. Oh, maybe like Slash from Guns N' Roses. Big top hat. Mmm. Oh, so
maybe
many
like
possibilities.
Maybe like Buckethead from Guns N' Roses.
Oh, KFC bucket on his head. Love it.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it's really make or break the outfit. I'm bated breath. I'm crossing my fingers, man.
Do you think it's time, perhaps, for Stephen Moffat to move on?
Maybe he could make another series of Jekyll. I'm kidding. That was terrible. It's the worst. It's the worst show. So terrible.
But he has done new Sherlock Holmes, which is really good.
Some of it's really good.
Yes.
First season was really good.
Episode 2 of both seasons not good.
Yep. Okay. Episode 1 of second season also not good.
Which one's that?
Episode 3 of season 2, I thought very good. A lot of people don't like the Moriarty characterization. I think it works really well.
Where he's all, ooh!
Yeah, exactly. Like yeah, yeah. But I thought it was good.
Yeah, me too. Mm. I love that series. I can't wait for it to come back. And I love how they do 3 at a time as opposed to Elementary, which I've seen very little of, where they're churning out 4,000 episodes of those that a year.
Great.
Yeah. Fantastic.
It is fantastic.
Quick shout out to Gabriel Bruton for the theme at the start.
It's always great. I love it every
Best
time.
Best theme ever. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much the episode.
Shout out to everybody who are listening. Yeah. If you've gone this far. Those amazing. 3 people. Yeah, it is amazing, isn't it? Good on them.
Yeah.
Sticking it out. Sticking I mean, they're probably just doing their ironing or something like that.
Well, that's what I do on this podcast. I just do other things. Mm, yep. Who actually would sit down and just listen to something and sit still?
I know, right?
An idiot.
What an idiot. Might as well sit down and read a book and hear how we feel about books.
There's somebody sitting there just listening to this down who's sad because we just said that.
Yeah. But I love them. So
yeah.
I personally love
I know,
them.
Right? Mm. We're getting amazing downloads, by the way.
Yeah,
I just want to say thank you to everybody for that because it's incredible. We're nearly, by the time this comes out, we'll be over 100,000.
We'll have cracked the hundo, mate.
That's incredible. Mm. I mean, who would have thought that us, two regular guys.
Yeah. I don't even know 100,000 people.
Don't you?
No. It's weird.
I thought you were more popular.
No, I'm not.
Hmm. Fair enough.
Very unlikable in real life.
If you'd like to know Mason, though, intimately, you can hit him up on Twitter at Wikipedia Brown.
Where can they find you on Twitter?
They can't.
No, that's good. Good.
At Weekly Planet Pod is ours, but mine is at Mr. Sunday Movies.
I love it.
You can also check out my YouTube channel, Mr. Sunday to Sunday. And also, if you want to shoot us an email with suggestions of shows, please do.
Mm.
Weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com or on Twitter.
God knows we're out of ideas.
We sure are. Again, next week, don't know what we're going to do.
Doesn't. It's going to be great, though.
Anything? Sure. Anything out of the movies this week?
No.
Let's do a G.I. Joe one.
Oh, great. G.I. Joe retrospective. Yeah. Great. We can play with all the toys. We can play with the Terradrome battle set.
I never had any G.I. Joe toys.
Wow.
I had Cores.
What?
The poor man's G.I.
Oh, the Core.
Core.
The Core.
Is that what they were called?
Yeah.
No, I had the Core's action figure in bed.
Yeah.
I only had the guy, though.
Yeah, God. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You could get the girls, but you had to get the guy as well.
Yeah, the guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the
that's the rule.
That was always the fantasy. You get to buy all the action figures of the girls, but you had to get the guy as well. Gross. Still would.
Still would.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.